Hello, this is Victor Nyauchi, listening to Clubhouse and Podcast.
Not that cricket. Clubhouse N Podcast. My name is Larry Quiridai, and today I'm joined by the whole gang, Darlington Mantambanazo, Tinashe Chimbambo, and Master Eli Tamerepi, and we have a two-part episode we have for you. It's going to be split into two. It's focusing on the national teams, what needs to happen now. First of all, after the women won the series against the United States 3-2, and then the men went to the rest of Africa and won that series. So we'll be publishing it in two different parts. The first part today is focusing on the women's game. It is the Clubhouse End Podcast.
Hi, it's Alex Lees here, Durham cricketer, and you're listening to Clubhouse End Podcast.
It is the Clubhouse End Podcast. The name is Larry Quiridai. Yesterday, exciting episode because I got three, I was going to count myself, it's odd, got three gents you've heard on the podcast here. Quite a few things we get to talk about, the women's series that just ended, the domestic that's just started, and the qualifier where Eli was. Eli, welcome back to Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's good to be back home after exactly 33 days in the wilderness. Yeah.
You were away for 33 days.
To be exact.
Do you feel Zimbabwe anymore?
More than ever. Good to be back home.
I thought you'd be coming back and you'd be like, sour.
Karibu.
Okay, this is Eli, Master Eli, Eli Tamerepi, Darlington Tambalazo. What's good?
Been good. It's nice to see Zimbabwe get a series win against the US. A little belabored. But it was good cricket until today.
Today was also good cricket from the young US. US. I mean, the US came in trying to get a win today. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But also, Tinashe Chimbambo, what's up?
Nothing much. Just enjoying life, cricket. And it's always good to see a seesaw type of series. It's good to see sometimes go 5-0. But you really learn a lot there, so I'm pleased for the lessons that we picked up from this series and the cricket that's been playing around.
I don't know. Do you ever want to lose a game in a series? Everybody says, "Oh, there's lessons to be learned." But would you? I saw the atmosphere after the match finished, and it was somber. You wouldn't have known that Zimbabwe had won a series.
I don't think anybody wants to lose. Nobody wants to lose. In particular, where I will give probably like Josephine Gomo, you are a standing captain, and then you won the series, but nobody really wants to lose any game. You even saw the way that they would play, despite it being wickets not coming, some were still giving it 110%, shouting at each other, keep going, keep going. I don't think there's anybody, any player at all, who would say, I can give away two games in a series. You want to whitewash, you want to dominate the series from the start.
I have a question for Tinashe. How do you, when you get home and a match has been lost, how does a conversation happen with the missus?
Actually, to be very honest, there is always a lot of pieces to pick up, depending on how the day would have gone. Obviously, the result, sometimes you can manage to find a way to leave it at the ground. But the performance, sometimes it's difficult to leave at the ground. So you have to pick up the pieces. Sometimes it's not talking about it at all. Sometimes it's running down the whole day and finding some positives, which in the series gone by, if not been many. So you have a difficult job, and you know, just like all the other boyfriends and husbands out there, it's not easy.
So, I mean, just so if everybody doesn't know, Christabel Chatonzwa is the Mrs. 2 Tinashe Chimbambwa. So this was asked, how does that conversation go? Because, you know, I think, I will say, if you're, I was also in cricket, how do you even talk about it? And, you know, you were doing commentary as well, so it's a completely different kettle of fish. But that said, the positives from the Zimbabwe performances, a particular series, I think Modesta Mpachikwa had quite a good series. She's now, for now at least, is the all-time leading ODI run scorer. Ashley Ndiraya is second. So, what does that do for the team?
So, I have an interesting one. There was a test duo that had something similar for a long time. It was Sangakkara, and for a long time they were the leading run scorers for Sri Lanka. It used to change, and they had this little internal competition that made Sri Lanka a very, very strong side when they were both playing. And I think this could be, it's good for Zimbabwe. Particularly because both of them still have quite a few years keeping fit and et cetera, et cetera. And it would be nice to see them play together and against each other for a very long time.
Sean Mize is somebody who, from your town, had a very difficult one this time around. Would there be any alarm bells, or is just one of those?
I think for Sean, it's pretty much a bad day in the office. She had a fantastic domestic season, player of the women's tournament out in Bulawayo. She did fantastically both with bat and ball. And you can take a leaf from the game that she played today. Yes, she didn't score runs with the bat, but bowling-wise, I think she did pretty well, just that she came into the attack late. So there is that notion that, you know what, you can, you know, redeem yourself. But however, it's going to take a lot. She needs to review a lot from how she played in this series, even particularly in this day. First ball, you're already trying to clip it off the pads to, you know, deep backward square, where you can see from your assessment of the field placement that there's someone that is there, you know. So I think it's just going back to the drawing board, pick yourself up, and then, you know, you work it away from there. Alarm bells, I think with cricket, it's always, you know, there's a lot of things you need to consider before you start ringing the bells, I think.
How much did, I mean, it's a crazy one to say because she's only 18. How much did Zimbabwe miss Kalisa Ndlovu? Yes, you won the series, but someone of that pedigree, who would they become so reliant on?
Quite a lot, actually, because if you look around the makeup of that side, you find that they didn't have a left-arm spinner. And purely from that perspective, because I think Beloved Biza, who came into the side, did hold her own with the bat. And if you look around the top order, apart from Kellys, the rest of the ladies in the top five had some scores of some sort. So the runs might have not been the problem, but I think in the bowling department, a left-arm spinner who can come in for starters can bowl with a new ball. She is slightly on the quicker side, so it's difficult to negotiate a left-hand spinner who's got a bit of pace behind her against the new ball. But most importantly, in those middle periods, you saw the game that they lost in the third ODI. They probably needed a little bit of control in that middle period, and somebody who is able to bowl wicket to wicket on a deck that was giving variable bounce would have been massive for the Zimbabwe. So from purely a bowling perspective, I think Kellys would have been a great addition to the side.
And, you know, you look at Zimbabwe, a couple of players got starts. Chipo, Gerrit, Tiripano, got a couple of 20s and 30s. And that, you can say that for a couple of players. What would you have put that down to? Because it's almost as if you're getting starts. And even if you look at players that get to the 60, not converting to 100 like the young girl from the United States did today.
I don't know. I think it might be satisfaction levels. If you're satisfied with a low score because you've made a contribution, it could be that. It's just a psychology and understanding yourself that, okay, this is the phase in this game where I get out a lot, and then restarting. You know, like mentally kind of getting back to zero and playing from zero. It's a trick that I was taught when I was maybe now in my early 20s, that if you keep getting to sort of 25, 30, you need to reset and get back to that frame of mind that gets you to 25, another 25 or 30 runs. And every time you do that, you reset until you've gotten to the score that's necessary. You know what I mean? That's required of you. Get to those three figures. But I think it's just, like, it's just mental. It's not like she's, got any real, like, technical issues or stuff like that. But I think it's just in her mind. She gets to 30, relaxes, and then that's when usually she gets out.
Yeah, your thoughts on that?
I pretty much agree with what Darlington is saying. That pretty much of it is, it comes to application. There are different styles that people use. Some say that when you get to 30, restart again and continue. Some say when you get to 50, then you restart your innings again and you push forward. But I think it's basically try to find a formula that works for you. How do you keep yourself in the game? And some players don't even want to look at the scoreboard in terms of what they've put up personally. They keep concentrating on what the team is getting, and then they push on from there. So, yeah, I pretty much go with what Darlington had to say.
International Zimbabwe, sometimes people will talk about fitness. Could that be an issue?
That is exactly what I said earlier. I did get that question from Eli while we were on air. Perhaps didn't get enough chances to really dig deep into the fitness. And the application that Eli speaks about, when you get in, and that goes back to speak about what Darlington says as well. So it's all intertwined and put together by fitness. You can apply yourself in ball number 1 to ball number 25. Why? Because you're still fresh. Your mind is working well. The more you tire, the more you get fatigued. Your mind doesn't process, it doesn't apply itself as well as you want it to be. In your mind, you think everything is okay. But then subconsciously, you start having flaws, you start having difficulties in executing the things that you've been executing very well. And to really nail that down, if you look around the stats that the ladies are having, they are all within a 15-run threshold, like from 25 to 38. That's right there. That's where most of those flows and ebbs and flows of concentration are happening. So you find Chipa Mugeri, she scored 25, then scored 30, and then 33. It's within that 25 to 38 type of scores, right? If you are fit, right, as we saw, especially with what's her name, Chetna, you know, who is fresh, she hasn't played a game this whole series. She could find more gears after she got to 50. She could find more gears when she got to 100, and she was still not out. Why? Because her fitness, and she's young as well. So her fitness helped her to concentrate better, which you then come back to when you struggle to apply yourself in some instances. Were you fit enough? Were you able to still run the twos that you were running? Were you still able to, you know, drop and run and make good decisions? That's what it is.
I hope he wasn't suggesting age, because that would not go down well at home. Because I say she's young. So, Darlington, you're a coach. How do you fix something like that? Before we go in to now looking at the implications of the results of the series.
So for me, I'd go back to the simplest solution. Okay. And that's Tinashe's solution. Is get fitter. Okay. Get a process of running consistently. Figure out how you're going to lose a little bit of weight. And then if that doesn't work, then you have to go into the mental processes. So one of the other ones that a lot of guys do is you figure out how to break your concentration. So you want to try and get your peak concentration short and then switch off. And then just as the ball is about to be delivered, you get back to peak concentration for short periods. Because often what players do is they stay in the peak concentration period. It's hard to stay there. You know what I mean? Anybody, like if you've, there's a reason why football matches are 90 minutes. It's players can't concentrate for more than 90 minutes at a time. But cricket is now, there's a trick where you can use by just breaking, focus away, look at like into the crowd or something like that, or above the crowd, and then only come back to actually real focus again when the ball's about to be bowled. And that can extend the length of time that you're able to concentrate hard for.
So will that be the sort of thing that happens when we see players walking away from the crease a bit?
That's exactly. That's one thing. It's like you have a trigger. So you walk away, you switch off. And then when you walk back, you switch back on. And other players have different things where they'll maybe, you'll see them playing with their gloves, or you'll see another one will just look down and just sort of try and close everything off and only look up just before the bowler starts running in. So it depends, you know, like, but you generally find that players find their own version of that, where you switch off and switch on.
So Eli, it's 3-2, before we came to Zimbabwe. The United States has not played that many ODIs. I think the last time Zimbabwe played them, Zimbabwe beat them by one wicket. That was an aborted qualifier that was out in Bulawayo. In Takashinga. And then they get their first win in the third match of the series. And the first win in the third match of the series, and their second win in the fifth match of the series. And there's a record, again, that's set. Two records now that exist for when it comes to Zimbabwe, where, you know, youngsters come in at the age of 16, score a century, and then another one comes 2 years later, becomes the youngest to ever score a century. Is this sort of like a thing where some teams start believing Zimbabwe is at a certain level, so therefore, you know, what we're going to do is try and get a game against Zimbabwe so as to, you know, fix whatever. Because a couple of years ago, you had a situation where playing against Ireland was either competitive or Zimbabwe were winning matches. But now it's not quite there. What's your assessment, given the sort of background I've given?
It's a bit of a tricky question, I would say. The thing that I note about that kind of a situation is the fact that the people that you're mentioning that are coming to Zimbabwe and the time in which they play Zimbabwe, they're playing Zimbabwe because they're a better opposition from where they were. So they take note of what they need to fix. After playing Zimbabwe, they go back and they fix that to make themselves better. Then my question is, do we look for better opposition after playing those guys who are beneath us in terms of ranking at the time? Have we played anyone else who is better than us to say this is what we need to rectify? Or we wait for emerging sides to come to us, players, we beat them, they go back and they work on their errors, and then they become better. And then when we face them again, it's sort of like, oh, how did they get better than us? Have we put in structures that, apart from emerging sides coming to play us, we actually make the effort to engage Australia, to engage England, to engage Sri Lanka, to say, you know what, let's play against you, let's find out where we are when we want to play and be at your level so that we can become better. Are we doing that? Or we are comfortable with saying, oh yeah, we have an ODI status. Yeah, we play against you. Then you play the emerging sides. They go back and they fix it there.
I want to jump in there because I had a really interesting conversation with Mr. Makoni, the GM of Zimbabwe Cricket, just after the win against, this is going back now nearly a year, last win against Bangladesh at home. We were having drinks and he was saying that, he spoke about the tour that was recently announced to England, because he'd started doing the legwork, the processes that set that up for Zimbabwe to go to England in, I think it's in July next year. It's taken him 18 months to set this up. He sent it up 18 months ago. So there are processes that are in place to try and get us so-called better opposition. And then also, we've had a lot of South Africa emerging games here. Again, it's also about getting the lower side of our cricket outside of our national team to get them higher quality of opposition. Instead of just getting them to play Logan Cup is not a bad competition, but just to try and give them something else that they've got to learn to deal with and survive and make runs against different opposition. So there are examples, too, that I've given of Zimbabwe cricket attempting to find stronger opposition, and that's all down the board. South Africa, I think under 17s were in Bulawayo.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all very well for the men. I think his talk is specifically about the women's, because we've tended to play South Africa emerging, South Africa A, or played, you know, with what do you call it? What is that? Namibia. So, I mean, there were a couple of years ago, Pakistan came through, and Ireland is a better side now, but it's either Ireland or the rest of Africa when it comes to national teams. Sure, there's a FTP that's coming, all very well and good, but the question becomes, what has happened to prepare this team to start playing FTP levels? Because now it seems as if, because if you look at it, when Zimbabwe goes to a qualifier, they struggle against the likes of Thailand, they struggle against the likes of Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka in the women's field. How are you preparing the teams to go to that level? It's just from Tadashi first.
Honestly speaking, Larry, at this point, I do not think we are doing enough to prepare sometimes even both the women and the men for the competition that they have to face. Why? Because let's look at the women. Women manage to get into a pool of players that a pool of countries and teams that they play against, mainly due to the presence of the men as a full test member. If you process that, you realize the development of the women's game in the country is maybe less than 20 years. Right? If you then compare that against other countries like Ireland, you'll be peers. Netherlands, you'll be peers. But if you compare the same countries with the men, then the men have got a 20-year... You understand? They have got a 20-year sort of background before they get to where Ireland started taking their cricket seriously, the Dutch taking their cricket seriously. So if you compare the Dutch women and the Dutch men will be 40 years behind Zimbabwe, but the Dutch women will be like maybe a par. Why? Because around the 2006-07 mark, where the Zimbabwe ladies were getting into the thick of things, playing qualifiers, the first one in 2007, right? December of 2007, I still remember that Christabel played in that first one. She was just, 16 years of age. And at the time, we are looking at the rest of those other countries also starting off. But if you then compare them in the light of what the men have done, you would think the women's side should be beating this side. But if they develop the same way as the men have done, do they have a running league? Do they have a first-class competition, for example? Do they have structures running back to development like the men have? The under-19 side has only just started. So before the under-19 started playing, there was literally no pool of players below the national team.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say literally, because I think the likes of Kalis and so forth and Beloved debuted Logan, what's called it? Domestic Women's T20 and 50-50 challenge before the advent of the under-19 setup. Because, you know, the under-19 cricket only recently came through as far as the ICC is concerned. But
So for me, here's an interesting one. I had a conversation with Sean Mayers a few days ago, and I was asking, you know, like, so you've gone through this really difficult series. What are you going to do? She said, I'm just going to go back and play club cricket. She plays men's club cricket, because apparently there's no women's club cricket for her to play in Bulawayo. And those are things that have to be addressed. You also need, you need to have a school structure. In the sense that, like, at least some of your co-ed schools, because you've already got facilities at most of your co-ed schools that play cricket, some of those co-ed, those facilities now get used for a women's or a girls' schools league, you know, all the way down to under sevens. No, like under nines, which is probably grade Yeah, and I think that those are, like, for the... See, unfortunately...
But I mean, I think it's important to add caveats in there in terms of what is being done. I looked at the NPL handbook, which says by the 26-27 season, every team that's going to get into the NPL must have a women's side. So to play in the NPL, you got to have a women's side, and you also have to have an under 15 side or something like that. And then also I'm hearing there might be an NPL that is starting soon for women. So if that comes out, so I think that's going forward. But we're talking about how, this is where we are because, like you talked about, the lack of club cricket for women.
But just to cut you short, if you were to look back, right, around the 08, 09 period, where most of the ladies who are playing in the national team right now, okay, the senior ones, your captain, you know, Musonda, Chatons, Wandi Raya, all those came through from a club system that forced all first team clubs to have, all first league clubs to have a women's team. Okay? And that worked for a bit because there was, you know, production both on the women and the men's side, and, you know, forcing cricket sides. Sometimes you'd have a team that's in Harare because they don't have enough women. They would outsource Mutare, you know, Bindura. But cricket was being played for the women. There was a league for the women.
Mm.
Okay?
So you're just saying get back to those basics, those systems that just work.
You need to get
and then just enhance them.
Yes. Club cricket is the lifeline of every cricket nation. You know? Because that's where you find the volumes.
Yela, your thoughts on this? Before we go over to talk about the men's. Because you know, men. They caused a lot. That's my opinion.
I think I agree with the gentleman that there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of systems being in place before we get to looking at the national structure in terms of who we are playing. As much as that is important, but your developmental structures need to be in place. And yes, there is work that is in place to sort of like get us there where we want. It'll take time as much as we want to see results now. But even for the national side that we have at the moment, I would love them to be playing better opposition going forward, because that's how they can only acquire certain skills that they can bring back into the local league to share with the rest of the ladies that they're playing. So it needs to be a system that is both ways, the double-edged sword, where you're polishing up on the national side as well as looking at the developmental structures in terms of how you're developing them. Then now what pretty comes to play is what are you giving more attention to at the time in which you are looking to do this? And I think that's good. The reason why I say that, I'll look at when we're trying to prepare for the global qualifiers. We took the ladies to India, to the Omtex Academy, and they spent quite some time there, which was good because you want them to face that kind of opposition that is better from what they receive here, and you give them that sort of attention, which is okay. So if we can do that more, I think that
they just don't lose to Vanuatu. I'm just
hey,
no one wants to talk about that anymore. It's like no one wants to talk about Uganda anymore.
No, I
except you.
I want to talk about them because I think they're important learning. Part of the learning curve, mm-hmm. and then creating institutional memory, yeah. is understanding why you lost to Vanuatu. Because if you don't understand why you lost to Vanuatu, then you're going to repeat that. Because you're not going to put processes in place that prevent it from happening again. If you don't understand why we lost to Uganda, then we've got a problem. Because it's going to happen again. We've got another set of qualifiers coming in the next sort of 6 months. Can't remember, I don't have the dates exactly, but I know that within 6 months, we've got another set of qualifiers coming up. And if we don't understand why that happens, we're likely to repeat the same mistakes. So for me, I think it's something that we've talked about a lot, you and I in particular anyway, but it needs to be talked about more because it's always going to be that monkey hanging on your shoulder. You know what I mean? That like dark cloud in a room is when we're walking out here, one match to go, we've smashed six sides. One match to go at a qualifier. What does it actually mean? Are we going to get through the next set of qualifiers? And I think it's got to be addressed.
Yeah, I've got to be addressed. Can I take a quick break and come back? Come with part two.
Hi, this is Billy Root, and you are listening to the Clubhouse End podcast.
So that is it from the gang in the first part of this particular podcast. We're releasing the second part tomorrow, and we should talk about the men's game. What must it take to become a national team player? For example, what is the minimum number of runs that somebody must make in the domestic scene in order to be considered for the national team? And what happens next? Where is the development of the national team going to go forward to in as far as the men's game? Keep following the podcast. Go to whatever platform that you listen to the podcast on, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Iono.fm, AfriPods, whole bunch of podcast options that we have out there. My name is Larry Quiderai. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode. And if you want to get in touch with us in order to be able to contribute to this episode, plus 263-719-903-327. That is the WhatsApp number. Do not call that number. It's a WhatsApp number. Otherwise, this is a 3Mob radio production for 3 men in a boat. See you soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.